Welcome back to Your Zest Life. I'm your host, Genevieve, and gosh, I'm so happy you're here. How are you doing today? You know, physically, emotionally, how is your mind doing though? Mental health is something I'm constantly focused on with the work that I do with the WomenS community as well as a health coach. And the last few weeks, I've been thinking a lot about social media, specifically on its impact on our mental health. And how mental health is a huge component to how we show up in life and how we cultivate our zest life. This week, I'm joined by one of my favorite podcast hosts. I'm biased, though. He's my husband. Luke and I discuss the various tangents of mental health and social media, including the differences in how we see physical health versus mental health show up on social, the effects of the trigger of dopamine on social media addiction, how these filters we're using are contributing to the highlight reel effect on our perception of self and others, as well as the stigma behind therapy and why it's so important that conversations around therapy need to take up more space in our day-to-day conversations. We also discuss both of our thoughts on the questions around how do we shift the health and fitness culture to talk less about what foods they eat to look a certain way and more about what foods they're eating and what resources they're using to feel better and improve their outlook on life. And also, why don't we hear more people talking about their therapist just as much as they would talk about their personal trainer? Is it possible to redirect social media from being this highlight reel to being an authentic space for conversations, resources, and supporting each other? We also share about how we take control of our social media to support our mental health and provide resources to improve your mental health right now. So whatever your stance is on social media or mental health, I think you'll find this to be a really interesting dialogue about the connection between the two. I know I left this conversation feeling more empowered about my ability to take ownership of my mental health, as well as the power I have over how social media affects my mindset. Life Zesters, I hope you leave this episode feeling empowered and inspired to take the reins on your mental health. Enjoy. All right, Life Zesters, welcome back to Your Zest Life. I'm your host, Genevieve, and I am joined today by a familiar voice and one of my favorite guests to have in this space, my husband.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Are you good?
Yep.
Why are you good?
Well, same reason I'm always good when I come in to do this, because we're going on vacation later, so.
I know.
Yeah.
We're always in good spirits.
Excited and got a massage later today, so.
I know, we're in a good, it's been a wild week leading up to this, but. We got the puppies in the car because we're going to have to leave them. It's not a mommy daddy puppy weekend. That's the hardest part about when we go on these without them.
Oh man, you did just sound like you're about to start crying that we can't have that happen this early.
I know, we came to leave this morning and we've still got to finish some work and get some packing done. But the dogs just look so sad and they're looking at us. I'm like, well, I guess since you're not going on the trip, you can at least ride with us to the podcast studio.
Yeah. So now they're defending the car from all the bad people walking on the streets of Boise.
Vicious little Simba. Yeah. So wild. Yeah. We're going up to McCall, Idaho. And it is, man, I am ready. I had a summer vibes ride this week. It's in Boise. It's not as cold as it has been. It's a little bit warmer. But I know I find this time of year to be really taxing on me physically for my energy, for my mental energy. Just because we start to get inversions, and I don't know, do you find like this is a difficult time for you as well, or how do you feel?
I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit different. The one thing that I feel more motivation to get things done just because there's less of a temptation to be outside doing something. Like there's some limitations that come with the colder weather, and those can be helpful for my attention span, I think.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, and I think that why I said I was having a summer vibes. I can already tell my focus today is shiny thing all over the place. But I have consistently started having a summer vibes ride in January, February, because I know how much I just like need. I need something bright and like something positive and something that's going to refuel my energy. And I think that this is something that a lot of us deal with. You know, you go through the holidays and you've got all the excitement and the hustle. And I know it can also be a challenging time for many. But you have this big buildup, and then January hits. People are focused on their New Year's resolutions. Halfway through January, they get discouraged on their New Year's resolutions. And then you've got like end of January, February, March, beginning of April, where people are just, you know, unless you're living in a place that's super sunny and warm, there's not really a whole lot going on and the weather's kind of gloomy. So you just feel like, I know I feel when people are coming into class, I can feel a little bit more heaviness. I can feel this, you know, kind of mix of emotions.
Yeah, not that this is our topic for today, but my two cents is January is the worst time you could possibly pick to try to make a major change in your life.
Just
you're coming off of the most exhausting season, at least as I see it. And I know some people feel it differently, but the kind of crash from the holiday season and through December and everything, I just don't think you put yourself in a very great position for success. You don't need to wait to make your changes.
Amen.
Do them when it feels good.
Amen.
And that, like, I will say, I'm also a Monday warrior. That's the best time for me to try to make a change, or I always tell myself that's when I'm going to do it. So on a larger scale, I think January is a bad idea.
Yeah.
But Mondays are great. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah. Well, and I think the point in like bringing that up, you and I were talking about, you know, what we wanted to talk about when you came on the podcast. And I think sometimes like it's nice to have fun and have like these fun conversations, but you brought up something really interesting and I'll let you explain it, but focusing on like the differentiation in mental health versus physical health, specifically in how we see it showing up on social media. And I was curious, like where this came from for you. I know we've had, you know, some changes in our life that we've been working on, and everyone always has changes and they're always working to be adaptable. But where did this idea of, you know, I guess, how would you summarize what you're telling me? You can say it better than I can.
I guess as a baseline, and this might show some sort of bias for me throughout the conversation, but I really, really dislike social media in general.
Yeah.
I used to be pretty heavily involved, and that's really part of the reason is that the most involvement that I had on any sort of social media platforms was expressing a very positive sentiment, mm-hmm. A great outlook on life, and it was probably also one of the most difficult times that I had ever had in my life, and so it sort of started to dawn on me that, you know, I'd have conversations with people and they're like, oh, how are you always so positive? And, you know, it's just always like such a great message and this and that and the other thing. And that was great. It felt nice that it was something that people were seeing some sort of benefit in. But at the same time, it felt completely not authentic at all.
For and you, yes, or what you were seeing
for me
when you were putting this stuff out, like toxic positivity.
Well, positive. And yeah, not necessarily. I don't know that it had gotten to the point of toxic, but I just started to see it as like, is this genuine at all? What I'm doing, is this genuine, and is it really sending a correct message to anybody who's receiving it? And then that sort of, it's the same deal as like when you get a new car, you don't realize how many people have that car until you've got it and then you see it everywhere.
Yeah.
And I would start to see that everywhere. And I would go, I wonder what, like if we were actually talking about how we were feeling and how you were working through stressful times, things that were negative, like not just bitching and moaning, because that I think is completely unproductive, but seeking some sort of help, like, hey, I'm in this position. Here's what I'm feeling. I want to get to here. Anybody been here before? Can any sort of guidance, whatever. And I just started thinking like, What if that's what these platforms were used for? And by that point, the ship had sailed so far down the other direction where it was becoming put yourself on display as how great you are and how positive everything is and how wonderful everything your life is. And I think that some of the people who seem like the happiest, most wonderful people in the world, when you see them on social media, might, as soon as that camera turns off, be the complete opposite. And I think that it becomes an escape from the problems that you're dealing with, but in an escape is also a way that you're just avoiding ever dealing with those things. And so I started to think about that, just kind of a lot, really. Just in terms of is that kind of compounding a problem that we're already having? Mm-hmm. And what do we do to sort of set things down a better track? And for me, that's been, I post like nothing but dog stuff.
Like,
and
2 times a year.
Yeah. And the reason there is because they can't hide how they're feeling. How they're feeling is how they're feeling. Yeah. And when I'm around them, I am happy, kind of regardless, except for when Simba's being a shit.
Which is like 70% of the time.
Yeah. So, yeah. But
he's a cute shit.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
Yeah.
And that's sort of where it came from to me. And we've sort of seen an evolution with it. And I know that you've been working on some things to try to have a more authentic conversation around that area. You know, you just got done with your pillars of wellness, mm-hmm. and like actually talking through some things, because that's another deal with social media, is there's so much on the physical side of things,
yeah.
rather than the mental or emotional side.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is lacking. That balance is out of whack.
Yeah. Well, and I want to like go off of what you're saying right here before you go any further, because I think that you're totally hitting it on the spot, and there is a lot of good that can come from this platform that is bringing people together, that is making resources readily available and accessible, you know, free content. That's what WomenS is about, is providing accessible resources that are going to help benefit people in their wellness. So like you said, we've got the 8 pillars of wellness we're doing, but specifically one of our 3 main pillars is mindfulness, with a focus in mental health. And the challenging thing here is, you're right, there's so much of a physical presence. So even when you are putting out this content that is focused on improving people's mental health, improving their well-being, you're still curating it in a way where it's visually appealing, right? I mean, that's marketing. How are you going to draw people's eye in? How are we going to make this look clean? How are we going to make it look receptive? And when you look at, you know, a lot of people, it's so, my thoughts on this are like so mixed, because you see a lot of people then who coach on mental health. Maybe they're a therapist, they're using it as an online platform, or, you know, they're a coach. I know, as like a health coach, which I can talk about this in another conversation, it's really hard to show up on social media, because to improve your engagement, you know, you've got to have interaction, you've got to have certain likes, you've got to have certain comments. People have to stay on your post for a certain amount of time. And that's where there's so much pressure to make sure like your pictures are perfect, right? It looks flawless on your account. Everything flows together, which is why I envy you that you can just disconnect. And the point that I wanted to make before we go too much into like the physical versus mental is, I had noticed for me myself, and this is why I wanted to talk about this today, that showing up, I knew how I wanted to show up, kind of like you talked about, wanting to be positive and, you know, motivate people. I mean, that's my role when I'm teaching class at Cycle Bar. That's my role when I'm showing up for my team. But it's also to be someone who's real. Like, no one wants to be following someone, and that sounds so silly, even like the words influencer, or like you follow someone on social media. But no one even wants to be around someone who's just perfect all the time, and they're just happy, and they're just positive, and right? Their skin is like flawless and they're glowing. And I think that in the last, honestly, since like 2020, I know that it's been building up. There's a statistic like in 2019, the amount of adults who were using social media, gosh, what did I find? It was so interesting. 86% of 18 to 29 year olds were using the social media platform compared to, gosh, like 10% in 2010. I don't know, that statistic feels a little weird, but there's been a huge influx in people using social media. And then in the last couple of years, we've taken this highlight reel and we've amplified it by using filters. That's a huge thing that I noticed this year. I like took this, not pledge or oath, but I just decided like I'm done using filters. Unless it turns me into a cute dog with my tongue sticking out, Snapchat, shout out. Like that's fun. But you get used to your image looking contorted. And then you're so used to seeing that that when you look at yourself in the mirror, you start to not even recognize yourself, right? I think it's why there's an increase now in like plastic surgery and injections. And when I talked about this on my stories, the amount of people who responded saying, like agreeing with this and that they have a hard time feeling good about them. Like this is what's hard. They get on social media. We spend 2.5 hours a day on average on social media. And you get off of it and you feel worse about yourself.
Which, by the way, is like...
I'm like fired up about that.
The time to make like one story or one reel, which is silly.
Well, that's an exaggeration. Yeah, it is,
yeah.
For you,
for me, it is. Yeah, I was just trying to put text on a thing once and it's just such a nightmare. But and to kind of compound on what you're saying, you saw a bunch of people converting to a platform for work, school, whatever, mm-hmm. where there's constantly a video of you looking back at yourself in the corner of the screen. And people were seeing that, and it wasn't looking like the people that were in those filtered photos or those filtered videos. And you did, I read an article about like the number of people seeking Botox or lip injections or just like general plastic surgery for their face was up when you were truly seeing fewer people because you weren't out in public as much. It was such a huge disconnect to me, and it seemed so sad. But all of that stuff at the end of the day isn't really driven by something physical. It's the emotion or the feelings that it's pulling out of you when you see it. And so I think like you would always ask like, did you watch my story today? Did you see this or did you see that? And I really did like, I didn't, the person in the filters, like I know it's you, but it's not my wife.
No.
Like, I see
I don't
you
have glitter around my face and like
I see you when you're passed out on the couch and your mouth's wide open and your glasses are crooked on your face and there's a dog laying on top of you. And that's like a real moment.
Yeah, that's
a
real moment.
And it's beautiful too. And I think that you like we can all sort of inherently recognize what is real and it means more to you. Mm-hmm. And these platforms are pulling us away from it, and people 100%. Are feeling at the end of the day, the baseline of all of this and the root of it is a disconnect from reality. And you go back to even 2010, what you're talking about, I don't think Instagram is really that much of a thing at that point in time. Facebook was still like it's everything started with your name. Mm-hmm. And so you would put then like after that, like,
Luke Howard
is doing whatever or
feels.
Like, yeah.
And at least that was like connecting with your mental, like, how are you feeling today? You know,
you were having to express yourself other than just posting a photo. And the weirdest part to me too, is that it's sort of, you see a lot of people who their follower base, and you talked about all these statistics that you were looking at for health coaching, like the amount of time people are looking at a post, the amount of engagement that you're getting, that kind of stuff. Imagine if your all of that is primarily driven just off of your physical appearance.
Yeah.
Like there are a lot of people out there who are quote unquote influencers because they're pretty or...
How many people are actually reading the captions? That's the thing. It's not in the captions. You're driving them by the image.
I just have to say too, it drives me nuts. If you post a half naked picture of yourself with some huge motivational speech underneath it, that is so bizarre to me.
Oh boy.
I just do not get that at all. It is super weird. And I have put myself in a hole where I cannot ever speak down on having a half naked picture of you,
you
out in
not
public,
ever
but
post a picture
it, of you. I'm not going to put that with like a, you know, some sort of like, it's like the whole thing about like, it's like, here, teamwork, and there's a picture of like seagulls flying, and it's like, what the hell is the connection between these two things? But I think that people start to derive their self-worth, and then on top of that, their mental health based off of their physical appearance only.
Yeah.
And I think you're really pretty, but that is like a sliver of what is attractive about you, I guess.
That's very kind.
Makes sense, and I would hope that that's how people approach everything with their relationships because, oh gosh, I mean, even think about it, like when we watch old timey movies and people kiss each other, I'm like, oh my God, they didn't even brush their teeth at that point. Like everybody smelled so bad. You took and it's like, so you had to have a personality and you knew how to talk and you had like express yourself. And
now it's so visual.
Yeah. Now it's all just masking everything.
Well, so going back to what you said, I think a lot of it comes from validation. And looking at the last couple of years, we have been in some sorts of isolation or deprivation from social engagements. And so before, you could find validation in other ways. But when you just have social media, again, to feel this being accepted, right? Think about like the way your brain works. You give me a compliment, it releases dopamine, right? Validation releases dopamine. Dopamine makes us feel good. When you get, and I wish I'd found what it is, like how long that dopamine releases in the body until you have to get another fix. But that's what social media does. So when people are posting these pictures and they're getting the likes, that's validation. And it's you can get addicted to it. And then you're looking at someone else's account, right? An influencer or whatever, and they've got thousands of likes or like hundreds of comments and they're getting all the, it makes me wonder for them too, like how is this affecting you in your day-to-day life? Like, where are you getting validation? How are you feeling good about yourself? And what's really hard, and I know men can deal with this too, but just, I follow an account that I really love and I'll have to, when I post this Instagram, I'll have to tag her account, or this podcast, she actually goes in and she shares all the hacks for what like fitness influencers use to make their bodies look sculpted and like what, not even like apps they're using, but like how they push up their boobs and how they hold themselves. And I saw one the other day, it's how they get this angle to make women look longer and like more thin without distorting the body. And they take the camera, they flip it upside down, they lower it so it gives it like a wide angle or wide lens feel to it. And I love following accounts like that. I wish we had more of, because they help to validate who we are for the real person we are. And they normalize what an actual like normal, and who's to say what a normal woman's body is, right? But like the cellulite and the stretch marks, it's just wild. And I want to talk about something you said on our way over here, in that, like, when you think about New Year's resolutions, and I think this is changing just from what I've heard from my clients and what I'm hearing out on social media when asking people what their goals are, so much of it is physical based. People wanting to lose weight, people wanting to tone up, people wanting to gain muscle. And when you're following these accounts, you can see, right? You already said, like, you can see their physical ability. Like, it's hard to see or measure mental health. Why do you think why do you think there's so much of an emphasis on that physical health instead of working on that mental health? And do you think we are seeing an increase, at least, on people wanting to improve their mental health?
So working back to front on that, yes, I think we are seeing an increase in people that are wanting to work on it. I think that a lot of times people view the physical side as a path to the mental side. Like, maybe if I look better or I'm physically healthier, then that's going to lead to me being feeling better about myself or having just a better mental health state in general. And part of that is because, again, that visual component that you were just talking about, that you watch somebody go through some sort of a transformation physically. They are sharing with you, here's the exercise regimen I was following. Here's what I was doing on the nutrition side. Here's how much water I was drinking. Here's how much sleep I was getting.
Yeah.
Like down to the detail, and you go, okay, this is exactly what they did, and I can see the change that made. And for a lot of people, it's the saying's overused, but seeing is believing. Mm-hmm. And you cannot, unfortunately, as easily see an improvement in someone's mental health as you can in their physical health. And so I think, one, it's viewed as easier. There's a more clear goal to it. Like, what is the end game if you're improving your mental health? If you're improving your physical health, you know, maybe you can do something physically that you couldn't before. You look a different way. You are able to fit back into those clothes from when you were younger, whatever it is. On the mental health side, how do you quantify just feeling better and being at a better place with yourself? And I think that it's been great that we've seen a lot of people who have that sort of maybe closer to ideal physical appearance that are starting to talk about the work that they're doing with their mental health, that, you know, having a quote unquote a therapist or a counselor or something like that is no longer viewed with the same sort of stigma, I would say widespread, but there's still a piece to it. When's the last time you heard somebody like laugh at somebody or judge them for having a personal trainer?
Oh yeah.
And so I think that the disconnect there is just so bizarre to me, honestly. And I think that just little steps that people are taking, like what you did with removing the filter piece, is setting a more realistic expectation. And I don't know. I think that, like, you know, from your health coaching and the education that you've been going through with that, I guess at the beginning I assumed that it would be all sort of nutrition based and physical, and has it been that as much, or has there been like sort of an equal spread of those components?
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I know I've talked to you about it, and I've talked a little bit about it on here, that like, that was something that surprised me too. And honestly, something that did worry me a little bit going into knowing what my background is in having like body dysmorphia and eating disorders, and knowing that if I was focused on nutrition with clients, that I would potentially go back down this rabbit hole. And what I really loved about this is that nutrition is secondary. And it's taught me too to think of nutrition in a completely different way and less on the physical side of like, how will this food affect me? How will this make me look physically? Because you see that on social media too, right? Like, here's what I eat in a day. And you see that and you think, okay, if I eat that in a day, I'm going to look like you. Those are the posts. I unfollowed someone this week. So I was like, this is what's wrong with these kind of accounts. And so it's less about eat these foods if you want to look like this, and more like eat these foods if you want to feel like this. And again, that's the secondary. So the primary is, and I've talked about this before, but like relationships, your career, your spirituality, your movement. And it's all based around like, how do you want to feel? And that's what I would love to see more of, is less of this, here's five belly flattening foods you can incorporate into your daily regimen. And more of like, here's five brain busting foods that will help you to fight depression and fight stress and fight anxiety. Or here's what I do in a day to find more gratitude. And I will say, because I want to find a positive scope on this too, right? That's like always us looking for everything isn't all bad or all good. But you do see more of this. And I would encourage people for listening right now, because of how much we're on social media, and I think it's the habit of, or breaking the habit of how much time is spent on social media might not be as easy as it will be to unfollow accounts that aren't serving you. Like if you're having such a difficult time being on social media, I mean, one, maybe just delete it. Two, you know, there's apps you can use to cut down on your time on it. But three, like take control of it. Block accounts that you don't want to see. Monitor like how you're showing up on there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it is interesting. And one of the, I guess people can have their views on it a bunch of different ways, but one of the best sources for what's actually happening with the population is on physical or mental health side, is data that you get from like healthcare plan studies. Mm. Like they have to stay on top of it. Those companies are there to make money.
Right.
They need to know where there's money to be made, what offerings need to be available to people, what's mattering to people, and then how they can make money off of it. So they're looking at it very closely, very seriously. And there was a study of kind of combining a bunch of different health plans in the United States over the last couple of years. And they were seeing that 95% of people in the U.S. that were a part of these studies agreed that mental health was important, that it was an important factor in their overall health. And then you drill down one level. The question beyond that is, okay, it's important. Are you prioritizing it? And that number drops to 26%.
Wow.
And then not that this is the only way to prioritize it, but are you seeing a professional and actively speaking about your mental health and working on it? And that number drops to 10% of adults in the United States.
Wild.
And 10% is rounding up too. It was a single digit number. But that's amazing to me. And I find it kind of fascinating because we've been hearing a whole lot for a long time. Like I think one of the first things I ever remembered hearing about was before like the idea of a diet made any sense to me, but like the Atkins diet, some sort of a low carb thing. And now it's morphed its way into paleo, keto, like different flavors of the same thing, but they keep getting recycled and repopularized. And we haven't seen that same sort of a push on the mental health side. I'm curious, like what do you think kind of drives that? And what do you think are some of the reasons that people are kind of closed off to actually taking steps if that many of us recognize that this is an important issue?
Yeah. As far as seeking out resources for mental health.
And just prioritizing it in general, because it doesn't necessarily need to be resources. You were telling me about some different studies you've seen related to gratitude, which you don't necessarily need professional help to practice. And I thought the results of what you were talking about were pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'd be interested to see how many people have been on a diet, have gone on a diet in their life, how many people, you know, have been on a weight loss program, and compare that to the numbers of people who have, you know, used whatever resource for mental health, seen a therapist. But I mean, I think that, wait, can you rephrase what your question was originally?
Yeah, just kind of what you think the reasons are that you see so many people recognizing that this is something that is important, but the huge drop off to those who are actually doing something about it.
Yeah. Well, I think accessible resources, right? what you're hearing going on around you. And so if you're hearing more about diet culture, if you're seeing more of a focus on, I made this transition in my life and this is the physical effects it gave me. I mean, that's what you're surrounded to. So I think the first thing is being really intentional in what you're surrounding yourself with. And that's with any change. We talk about this a lot, like your environment. Any change that you're wishing to seek, it starts internally, but it is so majorly affected by your external environment and circumstances. You know, and circumstances are out of your control, but environment you can take within your control. And I think normalizing the conversation, having more conversations like this, I know how I show up, like showing up more authentically to me, showing up as someone who I would want to be around. And that's just like my own personal goal. But I do think like normalizing those conversations and seeking out, like, I know it's so hard to find a therapist right now. I know you and I have been, you know, looking for therapists for a while, and it's not, you know, I think not waiting until you have a problem to go to therapy, you know, and I say the word problem so loosely because we all have shit going on in our lives, but not waiting until like you're at that breaking point to seek out help. And I think that people get uncomfortable talking about therapy, even though the conversation's more normal. But like, I bet if you and I were to tell our parents that we were seeing a therapist, they would say, like, oh, is everything okay? Like, how can we help? Are you getting a divorce? And I don't think that people realize, just like you would go to a gym, like, yeah, some people do find a gym membership as, you know, that like, okay, my doctor said if I don't lose weight, I am going to have to put on these medications or I'm at risk for a heart attack. But just like you would feel comfortable telling someone, hey, I just got a gym membership over across the street, or I just started riding at Cycle Bar. Like, why wouldn't you feel as comfortable saying, hey, I just found this really great therapist. If you're looking for someone, I highly recommend them. That is going to create, when that conversation, and I do think it's being more normalized, and I think the generations coming up are going to feel much more comfortable talking about it, because, I mean, how much was mental health talked about in your schools growing up?
Oh, not, I mean, not at all. And I guess I could, the clearest telling point for that for me is, I think it's probably a little bit unusual for our generation, but I was in therapy or counseling consistently before I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And looking back on it now, that was a tremendous period of mental growth for me.
Yeah.
And it had a very positive effect on my outlook in general. Would I have told anyone at that point in my life that I was doing that? And it's a definite no, closer to hell no. But like, do I have any hesitation telling people here that we met with a relational therapist for the first time together yesterday? No. Mm-hmm. And I think that the reason for that is, hopefully as a society, we're realizing that this isn't something where, like you're saying, you quote unquote have to have a problem to seek out.
That's just so interesting, because what did we have to say though to get, like, for therapy to be covered by?
Well, to be covered by the insurance, there has to be some sort of a diagnosis.
Which I know is for a lot, right? That's the point of healthcare. But that blows my mind though, that like, it's only okay. That's how I received, at least. Like, it's only okay for you to do this. We're only going to cover it if you have a diagnosis. And it's like, it blows my mind.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that I hope that we start to see that shift to where it's treated just like going to get a physical or a physical wellness check, where
like
you're realizing that is preventive.
Oh, yeah.
And it is... it's addressing something up front before it could become a problem.
Right.
And I'm not here saying by any means that like our relationship is perfect and we do everything
right.
Just as like everyone should look to us as a guiding light and we're so wonderful, yada, yada. We've had like our fair share of disagreements and problems that we've worked through, but we're doing this because we see the value in it going forward, not to fix a problem right. now, but
prevention.
to help us keep things from happening in the future. And I think that, I mean, even in just the first hour yesterday, I learned a lot. It brought back a lot that I started relearning, at least as it relates to myself. And gosh, it's almost like this is live. My mom's calling me right now. I just felt better coming out of it.
Yeah.
Like almost similar to that feeling that you get right after you've had a good workout.
Yeah.
Like you've got endorphins flowing, like think there's something positive happening within your body. You can feel it. And I guess it's something that I would actively encourage people to do. It's not something you have to make a full commitment to, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can start it. If you don't see it as being something that is helpful to you, then fine.
Yeah.
But am I any more of a weirdo than normal just because we're seeing somebody now and talking about our feelings and how to address potential issues or plan for the future or this or that? No, I'm just as weird as I was before.
Right.
But it's not like the stigma around it, I think is, I don't know. And there's even an office outside here that you walk by that it's something psychotherapy.
Yeah.
And for whatever it is, that word, that psychotherapy, I think because we've sort of normalized referencing people who we think are weird or do something different as a psycho,
I don't think
is super appropriate, really.
Well, I think that's why people are changing how they're utilizing that word, right?
I hope they do, but that's part of what creates barriers to people doing stuff like this and helping themselves. And yeah, we even talked about just the other night at our house, like, can you imagine if the approach or the stance that people take on social media about things and the amount that they fight and disagree with people, if that's actually how people operated in person, it would be absolute chaos outside in public. And I can't even really like wrap my mind around that, honestly. But I don't know, were you feeling kind of the same way after yesterday and seeing the same sort of benefit going forward?
Yeah, well, and I think it's interesting to me too, right? Talking about like the connotation behind words and what they meant. Like words are just words until we give meaning to them, honestly. But there has been a language that's been developed for consistency and so we can better understand each other. But I remember even growing up, like if someone were to tell you, you need to go to therapy, that was an insult. Like just talking about how you needed help and like you were a problem, and something that I would love to see happen with mental health is that it starts to become a part of people's normal routine. And again, I do think that this is, so I think this is a great spot to talk about some resources that you could have. So with therapy being something that is on high demand, I see that one being a positive because it means that people are understanding the importance of taking care of their mental wellness. And so I would argue that if you're looking for a career change right now, going into therapy is a very smart career choice. If that's something, again, I think that it takes a very unique skill set. But honestly, people just want to be heard. They want to be heard. They want to be validated. They want to know that what they're experiencing is normal. But just feeling valued, seen, heard. And if you can't find a therapist right now, there are a lot of online resources, right? You can meet with a virtual therapist, but there's a lot that we can take into our own hands. So you had talked about gratitude. There was a study that they had these participants take this happiness quiz. So when we talk about measuring mental health, it's a little bit more difficult to see how we measure mental health as opposed to the physical wellness side. But they came in, they took a happiness quiz, they generated their scores, and then they had those participants come in, and then they wrote a gratitude letter. And they had to think about someone who they were super grateful for, write this gratitude letter towards them, and then they had to actually call them up So, you know, you would call up the person who you wrote the letter to and they had to read it to them. And these feelings of, you know, expressing their gratitude for someone, expressing their appreciation for someone, all the good things that they've done for them in their life. They gave them the same quiz that they gave them at the very beginning of the study, but they mixed up the questions so they didn't know it was the same one. And the scores that they used to measure happiness and gratitude increased after writing that gratitude letter. And the scores were even, there's a bigger increase or bigger differentiation between those who were the most unhappy going into it as when they finished it. So those who were unhappy found the most increase in gratitude and happiness. So, you know, if you can't meet with the therapist, like what is within your control? I think gratitude is huge. I think monitoring your social media intake. They said that people who monitor their social media intake and will spend, gosh, was it 30 minutes? Yeah, even if you can just reduce it to 30 minutes a day, which feels huge when you look at the 2.5 hours that we spend, but you'll notice significantly lower levels of anxiety, depression, loneliness, sleep problems, FOMO, right? How often are you looking at someone's post and you're like, oh, I wish I was in the Bahamas. No, that person's not in the Bahamas the whole year. It's just that that feels like it's taking up a lot of their social media feed. Meditation is huge. I think just journaling in general, getting your feelings out, getting outside. I mean, there's so many things we can do for our mental health. Like, I think that's what we can do to start to normalize the stigma around mental health and therapy and taking ownership of our mental health.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like practice or kind of easing into anything. I mean, if you go, and this is part of the reason I think that, and you've talked about this before too, just from the physical stuff that you do and the nature of that work, whether it was when you were personal training or teaching yoga or in cycle bar, where you see people come in and they're so gung-ho and they're ready for it, and they go way too hard at the beginning, and then they have a negative experience with it, and because of that, it keeps them from coming back and continuing to focus on it. And like the things that you're saying there, the gratitude or getting outside or journaling, I think are things that ease you into this exercise that you're doing for your mind. Yeah. And they're not going to overwhelm you. And they're not going to leave you as an equivalent, like too sore to do it again the next day. But you can kind of start to create a habit and find something that works for you. And that's, I guess I want to be super clear about that we're definitely not telling anybody that what's working for us or what we think works for us,
it's ever changing,
is what works for you. What works for you is what works for you. Yeah. And I just encourage people to try to find that, because it really spreads through other areas of your life big time. It's just a really nice thing. And you see, one of the things that I thought was wonderful is when we did your Womeness in the Wilderness on the first day of the new year, you had us all line up, get in a circle before we started. And because there were some new faces there, some people that hadn't met each other. And before we took off snowshoeing or hiking in the snow, I guess, because there wasn't a ton at that point, you asked everybody, you know, who they were, how they kind of got involved with Womeness, and then what one of their goals were for the new year. And do you remember like there being any sort of a theme or consistency with those goals between people?
You know, I can't remember the exact consistency, but what I love about what you're saying is something that actually I'm going to ask you as we get ready to like close up today. And I want to challenge people, because you're like reading my mind right now, because I was getting ready to ask you this. Something that we're working on incorporating with okay, let me go back to your question. I think that a lot of it was on self-development and growth, and it was less on physical. So I think that's, is that what you're asking me?
I didn't hear a single physical thing from people there.
Which
there
was so cool, especially in a room of women.
Yeah, get outside more, develop more relationships with people who are who are close to here, do some things for myself to develop a routine. Then you get... like even be more like a dog. talk less and show people you love them more. Like just things like that to where, God, I remember it seemed like your New Year's resolution used to always
lose weight.
A physical thing.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was neat and kind of indicative. And it is a small cross section, but it was cool to see.
Yeah. So I think to wrap this up, something that we're going to be incorporating, we're bringing Powerful Minds Project, which is our kids' mental health program, to 10 to 12-year-old girls. I'm so excited. But one thing that we're working on, you know, at that age, self-confidence is so important. And I think that something people can do right now in this minute that will help to improve their mental health and their well-being, and I'll ask you this to close off, but one thing they like about themselves, something they're grateful for, and what they're most looking forward to in this week. So I want to ask you, and again, I'm going to encourage whoever's listening right now. So one thing you like about yourself, rapid fire.
That I can make people feel good pretty easy.
Love that. What's something you're grateful for?
You.
Okay. Okay, I'll take that. And then what's something you're looking forward to in the next week?
Oh, getting a massage today.
Yeah.
And just relaxing and not, yeah, not having a lot to worry about.
But right there, and I want to break this down real fast before we close off, but the importance of that is, one, recognizing what you see within yourself that you like. We are so quick to tear ourselves apart. You look in the mirror first thing in the morning, you know, like you said, you're thinking my breath smells, and you're looking at how you look. You've got maybe dark circles. You're tired. You've got these wrinkles that are coming. But what do you like about yourself? So starting to train your mind to focus on the positive and what you see in yourself and what you value about yourself.
Just for the record, I did a skincare routine last night. Yeah. So when I woke up this morning, I was like, dang, I look 10 years younger. This is
wondering what happened.
So, and you're not going to get off the hook here either.
I know, but I want to explain the science behind it.
Keep going.
But the second one then being, if you're talking about what you're looking forward to, you're not looking back so much on like things that you wish you could have changed, or man, I used to have so much fun then, like now I don't have that. But you're training yourself to be appreciative for what's going on in your life rather than wishing that your life was more like someone else. And then gratitude. I think the biggest thing of all is like finding gratitude, because you can't be grateful for what you have right now. Who's to say that when that change does happen, right? If you're looking to improve, if you want to lose weight or whatever, who's to say that when you lose that weight, you're actually going to be happy if you can't be grateful for what you've got right now? Because you've got a lot of good stuff going on.
Something you like about yourself.
Okay, something I like about myself. I am energetic and I can make people happy.
Okay, yeah, as long as it's not like right before we go to bed. I'm wound up right now.
I'm wild.
Okay, something that you are thankful for.
I'm really thankful to have a good team. Like, and when I say good team, I mean my team with like Women at Cycle Bar, but also our team. I'm really thankful that you and I work well.
And something you're looking forward to.
I can't wait to have my feet rubbed. I'm so excited. Touch my feet.
I guess one thing I'm thankful for is that there's other people out there that are willing to touch feet. So
yeah,
that's good.
Well, hey, thank you so much for being on here. And I'm excited for the next time you get to come in. This is always a joy to have you.
Yeah, I'm excited for our next vacation too.
Oh, same. Yeah. Oh, I don't know if we'll be able to podcast for that one, but all right, Life Zesters. I'm actually really excited. I just got the feel goods. Woo! I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your week. Remember, if you can start your day off with something you like about yourself, something you're grateful for, something you're looking forward to, I'm going to challenge you. Tag me, share it if you want, or don't get off social media. Totally support that too. But if you're on there, let me know. All right, we'll see you at the next one. All right, thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nuttinghaworth. and click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right, I can't wait to rally with you next week.